Hi.
Yeah, you're not gonna do the intro
Don't
today. I'm just sitting here being all patient,
know.
like, all right,
It honestly doesn't matter to me.
he's gonna start talking any moment now.
I'm
No.
indifferent.
All right. Gosh, sometimes I feel like leaving all this stuff in just so people can just see like how.
We're very professional.
Yeah,
We
that
plan
this.
this all out ahead of time meticulously. We're actually doing a script right now.
Yeah, this is all planned. Or at least
Exactly.
that's what I'm sticking to. But this is Torrin. This is Torrin Talks, and so can Drew. And today we decided to get into Empire Strikes Back, since Drew finally got around to watching it this decade.
Yeah, I watched it. I know we've kind of talked about it a little bit before, but I just kind of wanted to like address some of the stuff that I was able to appreciate now that I was older, because I watched the absolute shit out of it. I was exposed to Star Wars from like the trilogy VHS cassette. You know, they all three of them came in that one thing. And before
Yeah.
the movie even started, it'd have like George Lucas just talk about a bunch of stuff, and then they'd start the movie. I don't know if any if you people are old enough to remember that, but yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, because it was like the special edition ones, because that's when he
Yeah.
started adding shit to it and all that. It was really cool to be able to actually like appreciate everything and to really just take it all in. It's so what the thing that was so much more obvious than any of the other movies, this is by far the most character driven movie, Star Wars movie
Absolutely.
ever. Because like the thing is, in between, like you have this scene where the Millennium Falcon is escaping in the asteroid field, and then after it leaves the worm, basically after that, I mean, I guess I could expand and say like when they hide behind the Star Destroyer, and go out with the trash. Between then and when Luke gets in that lightsaber fight with Darth Vader, there's not really a whole lot going on. And even then, there's kind of like long stretches between action of stuff not going on, but it's still interesting, you know, it's still cool. You just really get to see the characters develop, and you actually give a shit about these characters,
That's what
you
I was
know.
gonna say.
Like, for example, I hate love stories in movies nowadays because they put it in because they feel like they have to put it in, and there's no chemistry behind them, but it makes sense why Han and Leia would like each other. You know, Leia's a princess, she's nobility, she's supposed to be prim and proper. But of course, this guy like appeals to her because she kind of isn't that person, and you see that in A New Hope when she's over there like, "All right, I'm free. Time to shoot some motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Get into the garbage chute, flyboy." You know, like
Yeah.
she actually has that like rough personality to her where she wants to get stuff done, but she's ne not necessarily supposed to act like that. And it obviously makes sense why she would be into Han, because that's the side of her that she doesn't really get to flex as much. And it makes sense for Han to like her because, you know, he tries to be this like rough and tough, like, "I'm a badass and nothing bothers me." But the dude has a big heart, you know?
Yeah.
He has a big heart and he doesn't want to admit it, but he does it. He'll do anything for his friends, you know? And it just even that, like that love story, just from that one movie, I just could just now write a book about it. And in Attack of the Clones, it's like, why do Anakin and, I'm blanking on her name right now. I
Padme.
know Padme. I can only remember Amidala, but yeah, why do they like each other? It's like, they're both hot,
No, well,
you
see,
know?
the thing about it though is like I could see. I felt like they, with the time jump, they made assumptions, but then it's like they haven't even seen each other. So it's just kind of like I could see if over that 10 years she had been getting into some adventures with them. Like, say if Obi-Wan and them took her with them and she was doing all these like badass adventures with them. Kind of like in Clone Wars, how they do her. Like, she kind of goes on adventures with them.
Yeah.
And so you understand why the relationship happens because it's more complex. And I think that's the point that they had in Empire Strikes Back versus the prequels, is because like Han and Leia, like that gap between New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, they were hanging out. They were doing stuff. They were, working with each other. They were it the tension had time to build up. It wouldn't have made sense if they would have made them fall in love in the first movie, because it's like I just met you, and when they first met each other, she was like, oh, yeah, he's kind of a douche. And he's like, yeah, I can't really stand this chick. But over time, the things that they hate about each other is like what appeals them to the other person, like you were saying. I think that's where it suffered from, just character development. Like, I get why they would like each other because, you know, he was infatuated with this girl ever since he was a kid. So that makes sense. But I guess the execution and the development of that plot point is where it suffers. The plot also suffers. And I don't know if this is just because Empire was just so good that if you watch Empire and then you go to Return of the Jedi, it still doesn't.
Yeah, they're very different movies.
It's like, what? But if you go from New Hope to Empire, you're like, you know, super jazzed. Then it, to me, it takes a step down when it goes to Jedi. And I know that's like blasphemy, but I'm sorry about it. It's true.
No, I think so. I think Return of the Jedi is definitely the weakest of the 4, 5, and 6, the ones that aren't the prequels.
Oh, for sure.
I still think it's a good movie. Like, there's definitely some great parts in it.
I still love Return of the Jedi, but it definitely, just coming off of Empire, it's not as well done as that movie.
And, something that I thought was kind of interesting now looking back is like, wow, Luke is a fuck up in Empire. Like, literally everything, all of Yoda's tests, Luke just fails miserably every way possible.
Yeah, like, Yoda's like, okay, dude, like, yeah, don't go to Cloud City, it's a trap. And then he gets there and Leia's like, dude, don't rescue us, it's a trap. Like, he just listens to nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the end, he just kind of, like, perplexed as to why, you know, everything just went up in smoke. It's like, dude. Like, Yoda said, literally to Luke, hey, if you go there, you're gonna get beat. Don't do it, dude. And then he just says, nah, I'm just not going to listen to that advice.
And also, like, you still feel for him, you know, because it's like...
Well, yeah, because you want him to go in and save the day.
Because you think if my friends were like that, you would feel fucking horrible, you know. Even if you like, single-handedly through your training just defeated the Empire, you'd still be like, I should have saved my friends. Exactly. It's my fault, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like... It's so much more, because the thing is like, Luke is a little bit of a whitey twat in the movie, but he's so much more relatable. He's so much more relatable than Anakin ever was in the movies.
In Empire, Anakin, but in A New Hope, he was, to me, just as annoying. He was
I just mean, like, exclusively in Empire.
Oh,
He's way more relatable than Anakin was in the prequels.
Oh, yeah.
Because literally, Anakin is sitting there like, I'm so fucking talented, and nobody appreciates how goddamn awesome I am. And it's like, you're just an asshole.
But well, Lucas. But see, the thing about it is he didn't do it right, because Han basically says the same thing all the time, but he actually backs it up, kind of, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I forgot who was he talking to. I think it was when they were in Cloud City, and he was like, hey, it's me. Like, you know, and that's such a cocky thing to say, but... It fit him because, like, okay, yeah, all right, Han, you know, like, I guess it's different when the audience is buying what you're selling versus, but it was already established in the first movie that he was, like, a badass, you know?
Yeah.
So, for him saying, like, hey, I got this in the second movie, you're kind of like, all right, I believe Han. And the problem with Anakin is if they just would have made him just be super, like, this is what I feel like. If he would have been showing hints of, like, craziness in the first movie, that would have made him look more badass in the second movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when he was a little kid, he should have just wrecked some people just because. Like, just straight up, like, what are those little kids? Like, on those horror movies, like, one of those kids. Just, like, that chick from The Ring, like, or something.
Or, like, Damien from The Omen.
Yeah, so he just was wrecking stuff like that, dude. But they were doing it behind, like, the Jedi back. Like, just one little scene where he did something, and then it'd be like, oh. Like, they should just had him kill Jar Jar.
Yeah.
In the first movie. Like, that would have been... First of all, that would have just been so fulfilling. Secondly...
That would have scarred so many kids, though.
They'll get over it. Maybe this is Game of Thrones influence. I don't know, but they should.
Yeah, I know. Jesus Christ! And then Anakin should fuck his mom.
No,
and then they should have a kid. And then the kid should kill him.
Well, that's kind of almost what happened. But anyway, something evil, something where it was totally like indicative that this little kid is gonna turn to the dark side or something, you know? Because he was just happy-go-lucky, and then all of a sudden he's bipolar or something. I don't get it.
I was still able to relate to young Anakin in Phantom Menace more than I was in Attack of the Clones, because I kind of get it, because the kid is like, well, this sucks, I'm a slave, you know, I can't really fulfill my potential. And when people actually, you know, he goes to the Jedi temple, they're all like, yeah, he's strong with the Force, but fuck him, you know, he's young.
But that's what I'm saying.
He has fear. And it's like, you took him away from his mom. Yeah,
that's what I mean. He should have had a little bite back. Like, he didn't have any bite back to me. So then when they tried to make him be all ferocious later on, it's like, this kid, really? So, you know, I think, just like you were saying, like, the characterization of Empire versus, to me, almost all the other movies, is just a bar above.
The problem with that, though, of like him retaliating at such a young age is, I feel like, and I kind of agree with that decision, is like the decision of the way he was portrayed as a good, innocent kid is because that's kind of trying to build off of Return of the Jedi, of why he made the decision to kill the Emperor when he was Darth Vader, is because it's trying to say he has good in him, it's just been covered up. So I feel like making him do bad things when he's a kid is kind of detracting from the overall message that Anakin's always had good within him. It's just been for the wrong reasons. You know, he ended up twisting his reasoning to do bad things, but he is actually good at his core.
Everyone kept saying he was good, but I didn't really get any evidence. In the first movie, they had evidence that he was good because he was very selfless. You know, like, he met the people and he's like, hey, come to my house, like, let me help you out in that instance. But in the second movie, everything he did was for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, there was no indication of him thinking about anybody else besides himself, because even when it came down to Obi-Wan, he was like, yeah, well, you know, fuck him. Like, Padme was the one like, no, I'm going to go help Obi-Wan. If you want to guard me, then you're just going to have to come with me. But he was already just being like, you know, chunking the deuces at Obi-Wan. It's like, wow, dude. You know? Padme hasn't been traveling around with this dude for the last decade, and she's like, oh my God, I gotta help Obi-Wan. You know?
Yeah.
So, I still like I don't hate the prequel. So, I mean, this probably sounds like I do, but I don't. I do like the prequels. But definitely that, if we're just talking about comparison, characterization, you know, it's just no comparison. Even in the villains, you see more characterization, because Darth Vader basically just owns every scene he's in, you know, like, he's killing people left and right.
Yeah, just raw intimidation that just kind of oozes off him. And I think that's also kind of what makes Attack of the Clones weak at times, too, is like, Count Dooku isn't necessarily as threatening.
Menacing.
I mean, I think he's still a cool character, you know. It'd be impossible not to like him with Christopher Lee playing
that's
him,
true.
You know. if it wasn't Christopher Lee, it probably would have been a way shittier character.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
But what I think they could have did is they could have made basically General Grievous be the dragon to Christopher Lee's boss. You know how you have the boss, and then you have like the dragon you have to fight at the end. Like, they could have made him be the more subtle character, like he was, kept his characterization, and then they should have just made General Grievous like beast, because you know he's all talking about like he killed all these Jedi's and got their lightsabers. Like, they should have showed him like wrecking some Jedi.
Yeah, well, you saw the Cartoon Network.
Well, yeah,
Clone Wars series, right? That shit was badass.
Yeah,
oh my
see,
God.
That's what I mean. I guess they just didn't have time to develop.
Yeah, it's all on YouTube. Like, if anybody wants to watch those, I highly recommend it. And I'm not talking about the animated like CGI ones. I'm talking about the cartoon ones made by the guy who did Samurai Jack and the Powerpuff Girls, Genndy Tartakovsky. Those are pretty amazing. What's also kind of funny too, like looking at Empire and seeing all the movies, is during Luke's training, it's like minor things where it's like, damn, like the Force, like what the Force can do was raised so high in the prequels that Luke just looks like a wuss, He's over there like, I can't pick up this X-wing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you should see what happens to motherfuckers in the
Yeah.
prequels. I
Well,
mean, they wreck shit.
I know. I like that though.
Oh
Well,
yeah, that is cool.
it 'cause it's kind of like he's rediscovering this lost art sort
Yeah.
of
No,
deal.
yeah.
So I do like that. And that's a lot of it's funny because a lot of the people's complaints about the prequels is actually their strength in my perspective. Like a
Yeah.
lot of people claim that it looks like too CGI, too like shiny
Mm-hmm.
and new, but I feel like that totally fits with like what happened. Like the Empire just shut down everything, so there wouldn't the technology or any of that stuff really have an advance. If
Yeah.
anything, it regressed.
Yeah.
So I and it fits too with the whole kind of like used universe look of the original movies. So it's like if you don't use something for 20 years, it's gonna look all rusty and busted and stuff like
Yeah.
that. So I think that was actually a good thing that they made everything all shiny and chrome.
Yeah, my teacher said it really well when he was talking about he had us watch Star Wars and kind of talked about the actual like symbolism in it, and I mean like,
I know what you mean.
the first movie, The New Hope. And I think he was really right when he was talking about like that the Death Star kind of everything is so like white and
Yeah.
plain to the Empire, because it kind of represents this lifelessness, this
Yeah.
kind of like obey, go in line, this kind of order. While you see in the prequels, there's this just bustling with life, all these colors and flashes.
Exactly.
So that definitely kind of makes sense, where it's like the Empire kind of killed a lot of
Yeah.
happiness and all that stuff. So where it kind of does make sense. Return of the Jedi would have been way better if they kept Kirshner on,
Yeah, I
if
agree.
I'm saying his name right.
Yeah.
Director.
There's a also a kind of symbolism with like the color that they chose the heroes to wear and
Oh
things
yeah,
like that.
absolutely.
So they, 'cause I know I forgot if I was reading or listening to it, but they were saying like Luke and Leia wear a lot of white because they're, like good and
Yeah.
innocent and things like that, and the Empire is very dark and black. But the
Yeah.
Stormtroopers wear black or wear white over black because they're
Yeah.
really evil, but they have the facade of like being there for help, which I thought was interesting. I was like, that's pretty cool. In Empire, that was the strength I think out of all the Star Wars movies. If you have a good villain, then you're gonna to me that makes your villain makes or breaks your movie.
Yeah.
Because if the villain is not interesting, then it kind of sucks all of the intensity out of it and makes you kind of like, all right, well, why are they doing this if this guy's not even all that bad? And I feel like in the second one, they didn't even try to make Darth Vader empathetic at all. Like, he was just wrecking people.
Yeah.
Like, didn't care. Like, there was no. He just was actually being the bad guy.
There was one part though that kind of made him more redeemable. I like it about this is that you have to kind of, it's after you see the movie where you kind of realize, like when he was fighting Luke, that he was actually being merciful, that he
Oh,
could
yeah, he
have,
could have killed him. That's
because I mean, that's
of
the,
course.
when he's talking to the Emperor too, he's kind of like trying to be subtly like, he could join us, or
Yeah.
something, maybe join us. I'm not saying like,
Yeah.
it's I don't really care. It's just, maybe he'd help. Like you could kind of tell once you see it again, and you know that the secret, you're kind of like, oh, you know what, Vader is being really subtle, where he does like realize, whoa, my son is alive, I kind of want to be a part of that now,
Yeah.
in his own fucked up way.
I agree with that. That's definitely something you notice in the movie. The reason why I like Empire is my favorite movie probably ever.
Yeah.
And the reason why I like it is because I feel like it's the most realistic in a way.
Yeah.
Because most, especially like when I was a kid in movies and things like that, it was always, you know, the good people always won, the bad people always lost, and that was just the order of things.
Yeah.
And this was a movie where the good guys really didn't win. Like, Luke gets his hand chopped off, Han's frozen in carbonite, they don't really know what they're going to do next, he hasn't even finished his training, you know, they have all these problems, and then they still have to worry about the Empire out there trying to get them. So, you know, it doesn't really have a downer ending. It's not like Ex Machina, where that ending just bummed me out. Like, that ending bummed me out so bad, like, I had to go watch a Disney movie because I was just that bummed.
You're talking about the one where the guy's trying to discover artificial intelligence and that.
Yeah, and then
the
robot just leaves him in there to starve to death. I was like, whoa, brutal.
Yep.
So,
spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry about it. But
if you guys have not seen that movie, sorry. Yeah. I wouldn't say that doesn't completely give it all away, but spoiler alert.
Yeah, basically don't trust AI. But I could have told him that. Even though I knew that was going to happen, I still felt bad for him when it happened.
Yeah.
So I knew that was going to happen because I'm like, dude, you can't trust no robot. Like, every movie ever, the AI always turns. Every movie ever.
That's very true.
So it's just like, I've seen way too many movies where if they came out with artificial intelligence tomorrow, I'd be getting as far away from that robot as possible. Like, nope. Because they're going to turn on you and kill you.
The only movie I can think of that doesn't really have that is, I'm trying to remember what it's called. You remember the kid? Is his name Haley Joel Osment? That's the kid that was in The Sixth Sense, right? Yeah, wasn't he in that movie where he played a artificial intelligence
AI?
Kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's movie. I'm an idiot. I forgot what the name of the movie was when you said it like a billion times just now. Yeah. From what I remember, it's been forever since I've seen that movie. He was good in that as AI. But other than that, yeah, I agree. I don't really think there's anything else.
Yeah, no, usually the AI always turns on the people. Matrix, like, every time there's AI involved, like, somebody ends up dead. Anyway, back to my point is that it was the first time where, like I said, everybody was in this kind of state of disarray and they didn't really know what their next move was going to be and they kind of had to figure it out and really didn't have any help or really didn't have each other either because they're all fragmented. So that was interesting to see them come back, you know, in Return of the Jedi. But definitely was kind of like, oh, wow, like, I wonder what's going to happen to them. Like, it made you care, like you were saying. Like, you cared about what happened to Han and Leia and that, you know. It's like, oh, no, like, they love each other, but he's getting frozen in carbonite, you know.
It's like, once they finally kind of, like, are okay with this, and like, all right, we both finally admit it that we like each other and we want to explore this. It's when they kind of get ripped apart.
Yeah, but even, like, 3PO, who usually, like, annoys the F out of me, when he gets blasted in Empire, I was like, oh, like, no, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, it was still a bummer.
I think 3PO is definitely the funniest that he is in this movie.
In Empire?
Yeah. So I actually like that, where, like, the whole time, he's just on Chewie's back, he's like, what got me, the part that got me the most is when they're gonna freeze Han in carbonite, and it's super serious, you know, and the scene is just dark. Yeah. And it's just really, like everything about that scene is serious, super serious tone. And then you just have 3PO, Chewbacca, turn around, I can't see. It's just completely cut the tension with that. And I was like, I like that. That was funny.
They just kind of, like, stepped their game up to new levels with that movie. You see more of the world, like, they world build a lot in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, I do like that. That's always good to me to see, because, like, you get to see all these other people, because in Cloud City, I think that's the first time you actually see somewhere besides, like, Tatooine, where people are kind of functioning under the Empire. You get to see kind of what life is like, and well, on Cloud City, they were pretty good, you know, it seemed, well, till Darth Vader got there, you know, and start changing plans on
I think that's another Lando. Point is, like, I think probably who's not, like, a bad guy, the most, like, dislikable character there is Lando because of his betrayal. But at the same time, you still get it, you know? Like, you still, like, I completely understand why he did that. It was still shitty, but it makes sense. And the fact that he tried to redeem himself and make the, you know, try to catch up with Fett before he went off with Han and actually made it to where Leia could escape. It's kind of like, even the person that, like, you're kind of supposed to not like, you still like in this movie. Like, it's hard to hate any of the characters in this movie. They're just all so likable and but so developed. That's what I mean.
Even when they're on Hoth and the Empire finds out where they are, and all the stormtroopers just start raiding their base, and then, like, that shot where, like, Darth Vader comes in with the stormtroopers, that's, like, my favorite.
Yeah.
That's, like, my favorite thing. And they're the bad guys, and I'm like, yeah, get them. Go in there and get them, you know? Like, it's weird because in that movie, I really don't know who to root for because I'm rooting for everybody. So it's like, I want Darth Vader to succeed, but then I want them to succeed. So it doesn't really work. It doesn't really work out because it's just like... So I think the ending was kind of the best way because... I know I'm going to say everybody kind of got a little bit of what they wanted, but not really because... Darth Vader just got what he... Well, no, because he wanted Luke and he didn't get Luke. So, but he did get Han. So, you know, I guess it was a 50-50 split. So.
Yeah.
I just hope that they... I don't know. I just feel like someone should just take that and study it and be like, this is how you make a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Just make this and interchange scenarios and people. Like...
Yeah. Well... That's why I kind of have hopes for the new movie is because I think J.J. Abrams gets it.
He's a super fan though, so
Well, I've kind of seen both of those movies from him, like Star Trek movies, but kind of an action thriller movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I mean? Not thriller in the traditional sense, but like, you know,
Or it's not suspenseful.
And Super 8 was very much more like it had action in it, but it was very much more character driven.
What movie?
And Super 8. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
And those two movies that he made, I think it shows he has the ability to make both a character-driven movie and action movie. So hopefully he combines them successfully in this one, because that'd be pretty neat.
Yeah, I don't like when things run off the rails. So I hope that he can contain, because especially when you have a big world, you can run off the rails fairly easily. So I hope that's not the case, but people are already giving J.J. Abrams crap, and they've just seen the trailer, so...
What? All I've heard was positive reactions from the latest trailer.
I should send them to you next time I come across it. I was shocked, because that's what I thought. I thought everybody was super jazzed about the trailer. And then I go online, and then people are... First of all, they're complaining about all this stupid stuff that I'm just not even gonna say, because it's just stupid. But people were saying, this person is not this, is not doing this. It's like, how do you, don't know, you literally don't know anything.
No,
You can't even speculate on anything because there's been nothing released. Like, so it's just, people just kind of like try to pull facts from anywhere to try to make their opinion valid. And then two, it's always, it seems like, whenever someone likes something, like I remember, like Jurassic World, everybody was jazzed on that movie. Mm-hmm. And then I was kind of like, am I the only person here that realized that this movie was okay? Like I had fun, but definitely there were some issues.
Yeah.
And now when I read, people are like, oh my gosh, that's just like an overrated piece of crap. And it's like, dude, it's not Twilight. Like, you know, like... Jurassic World, it did entertain me, you know.
Yeah. For me, Jurassic World was a B movie.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Not amazing, not horrible, but fun.
Yeah,
fun movie.
Like, ridiculous wardrobe choices aside,
yeah,
it was still a good movie, you know. Yeah. So, and the fact that I didn't care about any of the characters except for Chris Pratt, but...
Yeah.
Other than that, but see, that's a characterization issue, not action or pacing or timing or any of that issue. So it's kind of funny that we're talking about characterization and how Empire did it so well, because I feel like a lot of movies suffer from a lack of characterization like that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's also why Chris Nolan's movies are so universally liked, is because all of them are super complex, just character movies at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, there's the only movie I think, only major movie I don't think I've seen is what's that one where the guy like writes stuff on him to remember? Memento. I haven't seen Memento, but I think all the rest of them I've seen, and they're all just very, very character driven movies that you really give a fuck about these people, you know? So I mean, the people clearly like that. I just think the problem is it's a harder movie to make. Like, a lot of people are just like,
it
explosions,
is.
That's easier to do. We can write in explosions, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, but how do you get the audience to care about a character? I mean, that's a much more complicated thing to
I just feel like you have to make them relatable and make them do things that normal people would do. And I think that's why people do relate to the characters in Empire, because they're kind of doing things that people would do in those scenarios. Just like you were saying with Luke, it's like, yeah, he know he has to finish his training, but he's just not going to let his friends like basically take the rap for, you know, like they're looking for him. So they're going to torture your friends till you come out. Like, you know, most decent people would be like, you know, I'm going to go help my friend. It's just like you were saying about Leia. It's like, you know, everyone knows she's like has this princessy quality, but then also she's kind of rough around the edges, and she's not really a damsel in distress kind of girl. And so I think that's somebody that people can relate to. Now, if she was just some stuffy, stuck up princess, people would just be like, really?
Yeah.
You know, like, ugh, get this chick out of here. Like, she's annoying. Like, kill her off. I think that goes a long way to helping people like the characters, is how they're portrayed.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. One other thing I'm curious about is, have you seen that series, The Dark Knight? It's like a cartoon movie, but it's for adults, and there's two parts to it. I think it's called The Dark Knight Returns. And it's like when Bruce Wayne is old. I got done seeing that, and that was pretty cool. It's definitely like a new Batman we're not used to seeing. You know, usually the trend has been like the Batman origin story has kind of been more of the thing, kind of,
know,
in a way.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I can just say this for like any character that's super well known, like Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, like I can't deal with any more origin stories. Like, I just can't.
Yeah.
Like, how many times am I going to have to watch Bruce Wayne's parents die?
Yeah.
How many times am I going to have to watch Uncle Ben get effing murdered? How many times are we going to know that the Kents found him? And, like, we know.
Did you hear about that new fucked up story that they made in one of the new Batman comics where, like, he had to travel back in time, and he was the one that killed his own parents, and he had to do it so he could save the world? Because, like, I think, like, from the summary that I read about it, of them talking about it was like he saved the Earth from an alien invasion, like, single-handedly. So it was kind of like he had to kill his own parents so he could become Batman, or Earth would have been fucked.
Okay, is he the Flash now? They're just ripping off their own characters.
I didn't know the Flash had to do that.
Well, he didn't have to do that, but, like, in every incarnation of the Flash, or most incarnations of the Flash, like, the Flash, like, his mom died, and he becomes the Flash. Like, that's crucial to him becoming the Flash.
Ah.
And so...
Is he always born with the super speed?
No, he is an accident. He's not born with super speed. But his mother always died. Like, his parent always died, and then that's integral to him becoming Flash.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, and then when he went back in time to try to stop his mom from getting killed or whatever, he was already there. And he was like, no, don't stop it, because this had to happen for him to become who he needed to be.
Yeah.
So, they're ripping off their own people.
That's funny.
Yeah, the last Batman story that I was into was like when they were doing like the Night of the Owls and the Death in the Family thing, where like Damian Wayne got murdered. So that was in the comics.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, it came out like a year or two ago, but that was the last time I was up on my Batmanology. So,
you know what's so funny though is whenever they have like, like Batman versus Superman situation, it always ends the same. We're like, Batman's like, oh, here's some kryptonite. It's like, why did you just do that in the beginning? You just got your ass beat. And pull the kryptonite out first, you idiot.
Well, because I think it's a last resort. It's like, okay, I'm going to kill this dude. Because he's getting on my nerves now.
Also, in that one I was talking about, The Dark Knight Returns, what I liked is that he actually killed the Joker in it. It's like, finally, fuck. Like, I'm sick and tired. Because that's my main complaint about Batman is how he's let some of these people live and they always break out and kill more people. It's just fucking Gotham over.
Batman has his no-kill policy. And then, too, also, it's kind of like, if he kills the Joker, then what's he going to do? You know what I mean? Like, Batman's not gonna have anything to do with himself. Like, he's really not. That's why it's kind of funny. If you've ever played Injustice, have you ever played that game?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and the storyline in that game is like Superman just does it. Like, Superman, because the Joker puts a bomb in like Metropolis or whatever. Like, Lois Lane and his kid get blew up, and then Superman just gets like super pissed and just flat out kills the Joker. And it makes like a parallel universe where like Superman's basically evil and the rest of the Justice League are like his evil henchmen, except for Batman, and Batman and Harley Quinn are like teamed up. It's very strange, the storyline, and like Lex Luthor is actually good. It's trippy, but it's kind of interesting, because I feel like if Superman did go all nuclear, like in the in that storyline he does, it's like, really though, who's gonna stop like Superman if he decides to just like, you know what, I'm tired of saving Earth, I'm just gonna destroy it now. It was really interesting just to think about that, like, yeah, so maybe Lex Luthor is right all along, like Superman needs to be like deactivated or whatever, because this dude's too he's too much. That's always been my problem with Superman, he's like God mode, so.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, I don't know, like, the problem with that, though, is, like, he almost dies in every movie, so it's, like, hard for me to always be, like, Superman's name because he's invincible. It's, like, well, he almost dies in every movie, so that kind of ruins that point.
If you win all the time, there's no stakes. Like, Batman, I think, is more interesting because he doesn't have powers.
Yeah.
So, if somebody comes along that's stronger than him or smarter than him or more skilled than him, Batman might have to, you know, it's sometimes Batman barely wins sometimes, and so that's way more interesting than someone who's like on God mode 24/7.
That kind of reminds me of a point someone made one time where they're talking about Anakin and Darth Vader and like their combat styles and stuff, and how somebody kind of made a point where they're like, the fact that Darth Vader, like Anakin, got crippled to become Darth Vader, kind of made him a more efficient fighter than he normally would have been.
Yeah.
Because like Anakin is just like, go ham with my natural ability, and Darth Vader, you can kind of see with the whole him versus Luke thing, he's so more much methodical. More relaxed. Yeah. And he's just like, you do kind of see it like toward the end where like Luke gets a lucky shot. Toward like,
yeah, he starts getting annoyed with Luke like after a while, like because he's just toying with him at first, and then like Luke started getting some lucky shots, and he's like, okay, kid, like I'm done, you know.
Yeah, but I kind of get that point, because it's like you definitely see like I do like the prequels for that, is you kind of do appreciate how it kind of ties together when you watch Empire. It's like, oh, Luke is kind of a crappy Jedi, not his fault. Darth Vader. Darth Vader has chilled out a lot more and is definitely a much more effective more fighter.
Well, that's because he don't have all that teen angst anymore. His hormones settled down.
You know something I noticed, too, is that I don't know, because the version I saw was the digital version, where, you know, they did even more edits to it. And one detail that I liked is, you know, when that guy walks in on Darth Vader where he has the helmet off. What I liked is when they put the helmet on, it made this like
noise,
and it's the exact same noise from when it was first put on in Revenge of the Sith. It's like, I don't know if that was edited into this like new digital release, or if that's
Mm-hmm.
always been in there. But either way, I like it.
Yeah,
I like the consistency there to detail.
yeah, that was cool. I like that. The changes don't really bother me. The only thing that I don't like, the only change that I just can't deal with, can't handle, is the Han thing, like in New Hope. Han should have just shot him straight up, murdered Greedo. I don't care what anybody says. Like, Greedo got straight up murdered and it was baller. Like, that does not change my. Actually, it does change my opinion of Han because it makes him even more badass because he just straight up did that in the middle of a crowded bar. Like, yeah, I did
Yeah. It would have been very James
that.
Bond-esque.
Well, I mean, hey, that's what he's supposed to be, like the lovable rogue. So
I
it
could
fits.
see Harrison Ford play a decent James Bond when he was younger.
Yeah, if he was British.
I wouldn't be surprised if they like approached him for something
Nah,
like
he not British.
that. Hey, they approached Adam West to be James Bond at one point.
What?
But he couldn't do it because he was like under someone else's contract, or he couldn't like work on another movie.
Oh my gosh, that would have been terrible.
No, Adam West is awesome.
He on Family Guy, but I don't buy him as James Bond. Like, you have to have a
Mean, we don't
certain.
know.
No, when I think Adam West, I don't think sophistication. I think Batman and Family Guy. So, you know,
Gotta
like,
admit though, the
I
1960s Batman is fucking hilarious.
love that Batman. I love it. It's deliciously campy and cheesy and awful, and I love every minute of it. Like, I love everything about it.
I
They
just
can
love
do no wrong.
this one scene I saw recently where he's at this bar and he's in this Batman getup and everybody's just in normal clothes, and then he starts dancing with people. Like, oh my God, this is the cheesiest thing ever. I love it.
It's so bad it's good. It's like on Sharknado levels. Like, it's this is so terrible, but it's awesome. Like, so no, I know a lot of people don't like it, but I love it. I love,
Oh.
I guess I like a certain amount of cheesy camp stupidity, but it has to be where it's so over the top where it's just like, you know, no one's taking it seriously.
Yeah.
So you can't. It's kind of like Xena. Like, I love Xena.
Never watched that, but I know what you're talking about.
It's funny because when I was a kid, I was super into Xena, and I remember like on Saturday, because it used to come on Saturday, like Hercules would come on, then Xena, and we would be super into it, right? And I never realized how bootleg it was because that was the beginning of using like CGI and graphics and stuff like that. And I watched it fairly recently, and I was like, what? How did I think this was good? I still love it though. Like,
90s, man. The
yeah,
90s.
I still love it. Like, I still love the characters. I still love it. But it definitely took, like, it just went up a level in, like, the cheese factor that I was oblivious to when I was a kid.
Oh,
Yeah.
that reminds me of this one show I recently found on YouTube that I watched when I was a kid called a Big Wolf on Campus. And it was basically a it's I don't want to say it's a parody, but it's like a super cheesy version of
Teen
what
Wolf?
was that movie called? The Michael J. Fox movie where he's a
Teen
werewolf.
Wolf?
That's Teen Wolf. Yeah. He it's like a cheesy version of that. And I did not pick up on that whatsoever when I was a kid, and now I just laugh my ass off. It's so funny
Yeah.
because it doesn't take like they legitimately made it shitty on purpose, and that's what's funny about it is it's
Yeah.
like self-aware of its shittiness.
Yeah, see, that's what I love. I love things that are self-aware that they're awful. And
Yeah,
so, yeah.
this thing is like they had fun with it. Like you can tell, like they had
Yeah.
fun with that, so it doesn't like actually be shitty, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of
That
like
what.
Xena though. Like, they're definitely aware of what's going on. And it's just, I love that show. It's so good.
Did you ever see The Beastmaster?
Yes.
Was that any good? I was too young to like watch that
Dude.
show consistently. It looked really cheesy.
It is. Oh my, wow. That is so throwback, Beastmaster. Yeah. I actually watched Conan recently, and it was the first time I watched it in a while.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger one?
Yes.
Huh.
And
Is it
I
any
was.
good?
To me, it is. But see, that's why I said, like, I'm not a good judge because I love terrible movies. So, and Conan is not terrible, though. Conan is just. It's bad because everything just took a step up. So when you see movies that were made, like, you know, with early 80s graphics and
Yeah.
plots and design and characters and everything, you're just like rolling your eyes. But it's Arnold being Arnold, and that's just, and his accent was even more terrible. So
Back
that just
then.
makes everything even better, because I almost can't understand him.
Is
So
he even supposed to be like some sort of ethnic, or is he just like,
he's like
is he just,
super
he's a barbarian, that's it?
tan. He has no ethnicity. He's just like a barbarian. And mind you, his mother, and they're barbarians, and she has like blonde hair, and she's like a total fox. He's like this buff Austrian barbarian, I guess. And he's fighting freaking James Earl Jones.
I didn't know he was in that movie.
Yeah, and that made me laugh even harder because, you know, it just sounds like Darth Vader. So that was just even funnier. I was just like, oh my goodness, this movie is just killing me. And then him and the chick, like the way people come in and out, you're talking about characterization. So he meets the chick, and then 5 minutes later, it's like, oh, I love you. Like, I'm telling you, like, that movie would not fly now. Like, people would just flame this movie hardcore. Like, what is this? But I still love it. I don't know if it's just because that
I kind of want
80s
to watch it
nostalgia.
now.
Yo,
Because
you should
I
watch
think it's
it.
on Netflix.
It is on Netflix.
Oh,
It's
nice.
terrible. So.
I actually like Arnold Schwarzenegger's movies.
I do too, but that's what I mean. That's what I love about, like,
Like,
I don't want him to ever change. Oh, it's funny. I heard, or I was reading somewhere, that he started to lose his accent, but he keeps it because it's recognizable as his, that's his trademark.
yeah.
Have you ever heard of this band called Austrian Death Machine?
No, but that sounds amazing.
It is, because it is like this kind of metal type band that's solely dedicated to Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so, like, all their songs are like about his movies. And the guy sounds just like him. Like, the guy that's the singer sings like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's so, oh gosh, it's so funny. It's so good. I have like two of their, three of their albums. So,
That sounds
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, but like some of the songs is like, I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle. The
Right.
line from Terminator 2,
Oh.
allow me to break the ice, is like his line from Batman and Robin. Like, I love Arnold Schwarzenegger, so I love saying his lines because they're so, oh gosh, especially in that movie. You're talking about quotable,
Yeah.
like Arnold Schwarzenegger gold.
He's actually really good at comedy too.
That's,
Like,
I think I choose to believe that Batman and Robin was a comedy.
it kind of was.
Because, gosh, Arnold makes that movie like, so funny. Like, he was just so, it's just like the cheese factor was unreal. But Arnold had like all these one-liners, just his whole script was just one-liners that had to do with like cold and ice and freezing stuff.
Yeah.
So I
You
really like
know
that movie.
what movie? Have you seen Tombstone?
Oh my gosh. That is in my top five of all time.
Really? That movie was recommended to me, and I watched like the first 30 minutes of it and stopped because I was just so bored.
Oh my gosh. You gotta get to the good part. Like, that movie is so quotable. Like, oh my gosh. So funny. Like, I love that movie. I feel like, see, like, I have a weird sense of humor. So, like, that movie is not intended to be a comedy, but that's like one of my favorite comedies. Like, I love that movie.
Tombstone?
Yeah, every time I watch that movie, I laugh. I laugh so hard. Even the first beginning, when they're at the wedding, when the wedding's going on, they just walk up and just shoot the dude, like shoot the they shoot
Yeah.
all the
Yeah,
guests, and then they shoot the priest. Like, I was, oh
that's pretty
gosh.
fucked up.
And it was hilarious. See, I don't know what's wrong with me, but that movie, I love it. It's, you talking about one-liners abound, like, that movie. Ugh, so good. Yeah, you definitely have to watch it. Try to watch it again.
What's funny is, like, Sam Elliott doesn't look any younger than he does now. Or I guess I should say that Sam Elliott hasn't aged very much.
Some people don't. Like, some people, they just still look the same. Did you see that theory? I didn't even read it because it was just trash. It reminds me of these people that come up with the Game of Thrones theory that are so stupid that they don't even...
Yeah.
It's just not even logical. Like, I heard one that was saying that Ned is a faceless man. And it's like, dude, he got his head chopped off. He's dead, okay?
That would be a mind fuck, though, if that were true. Like, if that actually happened, everybody would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But then it was kind of like, when then someone, because people were saying, you don't know, it can happen. And then someone's like, dude, when did he have time to go train to be a faceless man? Like,
yeah.
Never.
He was kind of, he's kind of always been the, Warden of the North.
Yeah, so it was like, when did he have time to go do this faceless man training? Yeah.
No. Yeah.
And before that, he was fighting a rebellion. So, yeah.
Yeah. You
know, just didn't have time. So... It's kind of like that, but it's saying that Jar Jar Binks was a trained Sith Lord.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, it was saying, hold on, I'll see if I can find it. But it was basically something along the lines of he was a trained Sith, and he purposefully brought down the Jedi. Like, all his dumb actions were deliberate. So... I was just like, people are just so bored.
What do you think about the theory that Luke is actually did turn evil? If you'd even heard of it.
Well, I heard people saying that he was Kylo Ren, and I'm like, no, he's not.
So no, that's dumb.
People were saying after the trailer, and I'm like, first of all, no, Adam Driver is playing Kylo Ren. Like, that's just pretty much known. And then, two, there's a shot in the trailer where he has his helmet off, and you see all his black hair. So, like, yeah. Unless Luke went and just got some luscious black hair from somewhere, that's totally not him.
And there is a picture of Luke in the movie. Like not like a scene in the movie, but, like, a picture of him in costume.
Yeah, I've seen him in costume, you know. And he's sporting, like, the beard and everything.
Yeah.
So,
Jedi
yeah.
beard.
I don't know why they're getting that from. Okay, so this is the theory. It says... that Jar Jar is a trained Force user, knowing Sith collaborator, that he is skilled warrior, mastering different forms of, like, fighting, and he is so strong with the Force that he is able to manipulate the entire Senate to give up democracy in favor of the Galactic Empire.
When did he do that, though? The only time you see him, like, get really involved is... an Attack of the Clones, so he's trying to convince them to use the clone army.
Well, because the way they're justifying it is because there's a scene in Revenge of the Sith where Palpatine is Jar Jar's in his council. And yeah. So they're saying, like, why would Jar Jar, if he's so good and innocent, why would he be hanging around Palpatine? But it's like...
Well, everybody was. He's the Supreme Chancellor.
Yeah, and at that time, nobody knew... Exactly. And no one even knew that Palpatine was a Sith Lord at that point. And I feel like that's a problem... when people watch movies or watch stories, because you have audience, what is the word? You basically see all because you're the audience, but you forget the characters aren't seeing what you're seeing.
Yeah.
So of course you know Palpatine is evil, but everyone else doesn't know that. They don't have the hindsight that you have because you're watching the whole thing unfold. So I feel like they're taking a lot of that stuff that they see as the audience for granted when they're talking about what would be actually possible if, from that perspective of Jar Jar. I can't believe I just said that in a sentence. But Jar Jar in perspective. But... oh, and someone said the reason why they never came about, like, showed it that he was a Force user is because all the people hated Jar Jar. So they just turned it down.
What?
I think people just smoke and then come up with these things.
Hey, man, I just wrote this expert piece, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Shit.
What do you think about this? what if Jar Jar? Like, it's so, sounds like a stoner moment. They talking about he is Supreme Leader Snoke. Yeah, there's a whole thing, a whole, just type in Jar Jar Star Wars theory, and it's like the first hit.
In general, I kind of like fan theories, though, even if they're like obviously false, just because I think it's fun to think about. But that one is pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I like fan theories if they're
thought out,
plausible, and thought out and well rationed. So I don't even know how they got to that theory. I was just like,
yeah,
wow, all right, you're a special kind of stupid. So
that's always a fucked up like insult to give to somebody, because it's you're not only stupid, but you're like a rare type of stupid that only gets experienced once in a while,
once in a lifetime. You're like the blue moon of stupidity. So I don't know, it's just ugh.
That kind of reminds me of a joke in I used to work at this Lowe's, and they were looking at like the employee roster, and there was this one person that had the last name Dipster. This one lady was like, "Man, if he went to my school, we would have called him Dipstick or something like that." And it's just like saying all this shit that would have made fun of him. And my friend just goes, "I would have called him Shithead."
Did you laugh?
So I laughed my ass off. It was perfect.
Yeah, I would have laughed at that.
I would have called him Shithead.
That's funny. I would have just laughed at that. See, that's why I can't.
So, thanks for listening, fuck faces.
Thank you for listening. I'm all nice.
That gets me every time when I'm so mean and you sound so nice. Are we playing good cop, bad cop on on the audience right now?
Yeah, but I am a good cop, I think.
That is true.
Yeah.
So, well, you have to be because you're black. No, I'm just kidding. That's horrible.
Right. I know. I better be the good cop. Well, yeah, technically, you do have to be the bad cop. Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for listening. We got to be nice to our audience.
Maybe. I'll consider it.
We want them to come back, all two of you. So.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We don't want to half our audience just from one comment.
Right, I know. So, yeah, don't listen to Drew.
Listen to me all the time. Anyways, good night. And, eat the candy that's been opened for Halloween. That's my advice.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh, don't even get me started on that. Oh, we should have talked about that, but oh, my gosh.
We can do that next time.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next time. Because, that wasn't even true. But anyway, yeah. So, thanks for listening. Bye.